In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manassero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manassero, and this is the show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes or Apple Podcast, type in Old Dogs, spelled D-A-W-G-S, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, we got a great guest for you today. This is an area we really have barely touched on. I think it's an area that you're going to enjoy as our listeners here. It's regarding international investment. And our guest is Lauren Cohen. She is a serial entrepreneur, international lawyer, realtor, and foreign investor expert. Lauren is also a best-selling author and sought-after speaker, and she launched her podcast, Investing Across Borders, in late 2020. Lauren and her turnkey team believe in overcoming obstacles and navigating global expansion for business owners and real estate investors, while offering access to unique passive income options. Lauren's superpower rests in paving a path to immigration visas through real estate and business investment, navigating the path for clients to invest, live, work, and play across borders. Well, Lauren, welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on. This is an area that I would just absolutely love to just soak up the information on, because a lot of people are talking to me. Investors that have been investing exclusively in the U.S. are looking offshore and in other countries, and looking at what options are available, what benefits are involved, and so forth. So, before we jump into the topic, I thought maybe you could just give us a little background on yourself.
Sure. Well, like you said, I'm originally from Toronto, so I'm an international investor myself, an international lawyer, and also a realtor. And I developed my podcast around my brand, which is Investing Across Borders. Basically, I help people mainly inbound to the U.S., but also outbound from the U.S. and Canada into other countries like Mexico, Costa Rica, Belize, France, Israel, you name it, India. It's literally worldwide. Actually, I just had a client reach out to me that is investing in Cambodia. I have definitely never worked with somebody that's investing in Cambodia before, but, I just create a model that works around what their needs are. And so I have been doing this for several years, and have become very popular of late, because I think one of the benefits of COVID has been opening up doors to international investment in unprecedented ways.
Yeah, that's for sure. Our audience, these are folks that are, a little bit further along in age, and they're approaching retirement or in retirement. So they're looking at interesting ways to, you know, not only reduce their tax burdens, but also to grow their nest eggs or to expand their portfolio. So, yeah, I don't know where to start here. I think probably the first would be, you know, if somebody was interested in investing, what are some of the advantages that a person would have in internationally investing?
Well, first of all, you're going to diversify. Because when you're investing all in one country or one state or one location, obviously you're dependent on that market. And we know, as hot as the market is in most places in the U.S. now, there are still places where there's distressed real estate available. And that's true, especially when you expand outside of the country. So, but, you know, you also want to be careful when you're expanding into other countries that not only do you have the right team in place, but also that you have the right structure in place, and that you make sure that you're not just investing because the deal looks good, because sometimes if it's too good to be true, it's just that. And so you have to be really careful when you're expanding. So there may be options or considerations that you don't think about when you invest in X that may be available, like Panama, for example. So figuring out which countries and how they work into your system is really important from the beginning.
Do you have a lot of people that actually obtain dual citizenship?
Yes.
You do? Okay. Mm-hmm. And in some of these countries, do you have to be a citizen of that country to invest in that country?
No, not usually. Most countries don't have that requirement.
Oh, okay. Okay. Great. You know, kind of looking at, you know, the advantages again, sort of the benefits, you talked about diversifying. Are there tax advantages in investing abroad?
Sometimes. Certainly, it just depends. You know, it depends on your tax situation. Each state, people from different states are going to have different tax situations. Like California has different tax rules than Florida, for example. So it's all, and I do not advise on taxes. I have a tax advisors that come in. The beauty of working with me is that my team is comprehensive. So even, for example, for this client that's setting up shop in Cambodia, even though I don't have direct people on my team in Cambodia, what I do have is the ability to vet them, to vet people in Cambodia or in Australia or in New Zealand or Zimbabwe or wherever, because I've been through this so many times. So it's not one size fits all. And I think that that is the most important thing that you can remember when you are investing across borders, because what works for you, Bill, may not work for your neighbor, Joe, next door, because your tax situation is different. And you may be in retirement space and maybe Joe is still working full time or running three businesses. So yeah, it's very, very important to get that professional advice and not do anything. You know, when you're investing locally, it's bad enough if you're not getting the right guidance and the right professionals. But when you're investing across borders, you're taking a lot of risk and exposing yourself to potential compliance issues, legal issues, tax issues, if you don't get the right advice. And there's never even a guarantee with the right advice, but at least you're set up properly so that you are creating that system to enable you to accomplish your goals.
Right, right. Now, if people want to invest, let's say, offshore and utilize like offshore banks, like in the Caymans or something like that, is that an area that you
I don't help with banking.
Okay.
I have good banking partners here in the U.S. and certainly in Canada. I help with financing, depending on where they're investing. But no, those are not things that I help with. You would have to find your own banking relationships. And oftentimes, especially like the Caymans, you're going to find banks here in the U.S. that have partnerships in the Caymans and so on.
Right. Do investors invest primarily in maybe a second home, or just a, you know, it's going to be a personal home that maybe they may do Airbnb on when they're not using it or something like that? Or are they looking at serious, you know, investments like, you know, multifamily type properties or commercial properties?
Most people that are investing outside of North America are looking for at least a part-time vacation home. Okay. And then to rent it, Airbnb it for the balance of whatever they're not using. most. That's not true for all. And again, it's going to depend on if you're investing, let's say, in Panama and you want to get residency so that you can retire there, you're certainly going to do it as a home for yourselves. But if you're investing in Florida from another country, then or in Arkansas or in Texas or Arizona, you're probably not investing just for a vacation home, but rather for investment purposes. So it's a hybrid.
Right, right, right. Let's say I want to buy a resort, you know, but maybe just a small little resort. Maybe it's a, you know, on an island. Maybe it's something that, you know, that I want to build up and grow and so forth. Do you have like people in these locales that can try to find or identify the
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every day of the week, for sure. 100%. I have partners in 22 countries at the moment, real estate partners, and we can find property pretty much anywhere in the world.
That's great. That's great. What about, let's say, you know, if they want to finance it, and would they, you know, require a local bank to do something like that?
Not necessarily. It really depends. I mean, oftentimes they could get, you know, hard money, or they might be able to get access to other people's money or joint venture partners in those countries. I mean, certainly local banks may come in at some point, but they can also get access to cash through their own, like a HELOC, for example, or something like that on their own home in their home country, or on their investment portfolio in other countries, they may be able to get a line of credit or something like that. So not necessarily, it really depends on what they're looking for and how much financing they need. And sometimes there's owner financing, seller financing available as well.
Now, there are some countries that don't allow foreigners to own property there. Is that correct?
Yes, but I don't even deal with those countries, obviously, because that would be not good for my clients. Right. So, yeah, there are some countries that have those restrictions.
Now, you mentioned Cambodia. Now, that's a communist country, right?
I believe it is. This person is already investing there, so they must have some kind of a family relationship there.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah, I'd just be curious, yeah, how it would be dealing with a strong government entity like that. Do you, I mean, have to, you know, deal with the governments on a regular basis?
I do not deal with governments. I leave that to the local people.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, there's been like some places where you have to grease the government. I do not get involved in that. There's many countries like that. Not in the least bit interested in participating in that. Even if my clients want to, I bow out. That doesn't work well for me as a lawyer.
Yeah, I bet. So, are you now? You're licensed in the U.S. I take it you're a U.S. citizen now.
I'm dual, yes, Canadian and American, yes.
Okay.
Dual citizen, dual licensure. I'm licensed in Ontario still, so yes, I'm licensed in both countries.
And with dealing with 22 different countries, I mean, do you have a certain requirement there in terms of international licensing?
No, you just need to have a partner and a referral agreement with that partner in the local market.
Okay, so it'd be a local attorney.
Well, attorney or realtor, it really depends.
Okay.
You know, and if they're looking to buy property, that's going to be a realtor. If they're looking to close their deal or have transactions or title written or something, then that would be the attorney, yes.
Are there some countries that are a little faster in transactions than others?
I really wouldn't be able to comment on that because it really, right now, everything is in a state of flux, to be honest with you. It's just, you know, countries like Canada that are usually pretty quick are not exactly moving things quickly, especially when it comes to processing visas and processing stuff at the government level. So what is the norm is not the norm right now.
Okay. If somebody sold a large property here and then they wanted to take the funds and invest it internationally, you know, we normally have a 1031 exchange we can do here. Mm-hmm. Is there a similar vehicle? No.
Absolutely not. If they take the funds out of the property, then they have to pay tax on that, and then they can invest it into the other property in another country. You can't do 1031 or anything like that across borders.
Got it. You know, this is a fascinating subject here. I'm curious, why did you get involved in this area of law and, this whole focus?
Well, I'm from Canada. My ex-husband was deported on the way back from our honeymoon. And I was, at the time, an international business lawyer. And in struggling to find a way to overcome his deportation, I found my why and my place in international immigration and investment. And being from another country and having been through all the processes of investing and obtaining visas and all of that, I realized that this is a place where I feel very comfortable and my clients feel very comfortable with me because I really hold their hand through the process because I've been there and done that. And so it was really a matter of circumstances as a lawyer and realtor and also as a dual citizen, it made sense for me to develop this business and clients feel very comfortable with me because I have been through all of this process before. And so it resonates well with them.
Right. That's excellent. You know, you've been doing this for a while, it sounds like, right? What would you say, what are some of the bigger mistakes that people make when trying to invest internationally?
The biggest mistake is that they think that it's one size fits all and they try to do in the new country what they did in their home country. That's definitely the biggest mistake, that they just don't get the right guidance. They just find something that looks good on paper. They don't do their due diligence. They don't hire professionals. They don't get tax advice or legal advice. And they end up getting a lot of egg on their face and losing their investments or losing the opportunity to manage them, so on and so forth. You know, you have to just bite the bullet. And if you have the right team, then you'll be really fine. And sometimes you're going to win and sometimes you're going to lose. But that's how it is in real estate investing anyway.
Sure. And do you help people identify the country that would fit their needs?
It depends. Sometimes they come to me and say where they want to invest, and sometimes they'll come to me and give me a profile, and I'll try to help them figure that out based on the strategy we come up with.
Gotcha. Looking at, you know, at your company and looking ahead, you know, what excites you about your business and where you'd like to see it go in the future?
Well, for me, it's all about helping people achieve their goals and having an impact on those people. And certainly, as I've been building this brand and creating the infrastructure to support the clients, having the clients know that they are not alone and that they are well protected, and every element of their process is going to be overlooked and handled for them as needed. So I think my business in the future is just going to continue to grow and thrive and help people accomplish their investing goals across borders and make sure that they do this legally and successfully and make some money in the process.
Awesome. Now, you've written some books here. Could you tell us a little bit about those and if those might be helpful resources for our listeners?
I wish that they would be helpful resources for your listeners, but I don't think that they would unless they're actually planning to immigrate or invest in a franchise. So the two books I've written are called Finding Your Silver Lining in the Business Immigration Process and Striking the Perfect Match Between Foreign Investors and Franchisors. So they're very specific books targeting certain target markets and investors. But unfortunately, I don't think that they're applicable to your target market of 50 and over real estate investors, especially because most of them are looking to invest outside of the U.S.
Right, right. Are there a fair number of clients that you work with that are planning on relocating and obtaining citizenship in the country that, that maybe they're looking for property in?
Okay, so 90% of my clients are always going to be from other countries investing into the U.S., so definitely they're relocating. The other 10% that are investing from the U.S. and Canada into other countries, I would say half of those people are looking to either currently or in the future move to that country, if not full-time, at least part-time, and certainly when they retire. Your investors probably could look at joint ventures with people from other countries. That might be something good for them to consider, whether they're investing into those countries or helping them invest in the U.S. it could be a great opportunity for them to expand their real estate portfolio.
And that's something you do? You help facilitate?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
I think that, you know, that obviously if they're over 50, then they're generally people that have a few dollars to spend. Don't spend it unwisely or frivolously, or just because something, as you say, looks sexy, because that's a big challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I have a client now who's investing in 4 countries, and he hasn't invested. He currently is only invested in 1 of those 4 because he's waiting until he finds. I mean, he's very actively looking, but he's not just doing it haphazardly, because he has 400 doors in his home country, and he's replacing those 400 doors. So you have to. It's all about strategy. And if you don't have a strategy, you're going to lose. And if you have a strategy and you focus on your goals, and you create those goals, and you design a strategy oriented to achieving them, and you work with the right team of professionals, I don't think that there's any end to what you can accomplish.
That's great. Okay. Right. And do you have folks that buy land or properties without even visiting those properties?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Absolutely. 100%, especially now.
You'd be the one conducting the due diligence for them?
No, I don't do the due diligence. We bring in a team to do the due diligence for them.
Okay.
I mean, it's through my company, but
right,
we
that's
don't
what
do
I
it.
Meant. Okay.
Right, yeah.
Okay. What would you say is a, you know, sort of an ideal transaction that somebody would, something that goes particularly well international investment?
Canadian invests in U.S. real estate, buys a multifamily property, makes an offer, has financing in place, or is paying cash. Transaction goes smoothly. It's a commercial transaction, so the transactional lawyer and I do all the due diligence and make sure that everything is kosher. I have a third-party accountant review the financials as applicable, and we write up the transaction after doing a letter of intent. We write up the transaction, closes smoothly, and, you know, it's a win-win, and they're rented, and the client makes money when they go to sell the property in a few years and is managing it efficiently and to cash flow positive during the interim.
That's great. And do you also find local managers, whether it's a regular rental or whether it's a Airbnb, you would locate somebody on the ground in that country?
We can. It depends on what, you know, if the client is willing to pay us to do that or the client wants to do it themselves. So both options are available.
Right. All right, well, let's move into our wrap it up then. Now, this is where I ask you a series of quick questions. It's kind of like a lightning round of resources that you've appreciated or liked, and just to share your knowledge of resources with our listening audience. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up. Favorite real estate book?
My favorite real estate book would be The E-Myth for Real Estate Investors.
I got that too. That's a great one. How about a favorite just general business book?
Oh my God, there's so many of them. I mean, I love The E-Myth. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. Essentialism is a really great one.
Great.
I it's hard to pin down. I read so many of them. There's just, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, always a classic.
Mm-hmm. Most valuable website for success that you utilize on a regular basis?
There's no one website that I utilize on a regular basis for success, except for maybe Amazon. And why do I say Amazon? Because if not for Amazon, I would be out shopping instead of doing what I need to get done. So I'm a very Amazon-oriented, committed, loyal customer. I should probably... I should have bought stock 10 years ago, but I didn't.
How about a favorite app? Anything on your phone?
It would be Amazon, no question.
That would be Amazon.
No,
it sounds like it, yeah.
Every day, yeah, every day. I do use many apps, though. I like my banking app is great because I don't have to go to the bank. I never go to the bank. Just, you know, I'm a single mom besides doing all of these things. And so my days are run by drop off and pick up and baseball and karate and coding and this and that. And so whatever I can do to simplify my life, whatever I can do, I'll do it. And, you know, if it, Instacart, like if it costs a few dollars to get groceries and avoid having to go and spend a half hour at the grocery store, why wouldn't I do that? It's just logical for me, especially these days when, you know, you want to limit your exposure in as much as possible. So I take advantage of opportunities even when there's an additional cost. And I figure that I'm working hard enough. I may as well do it, right?
Definitely. How about a favorite quote?
There's so many. If you will it, it is not a dream. And that was Theodore Herzl. And it's also kind of like, you know, Kevin Costner's quote from Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. It's the same thing.
You have
to put it out there. It's like the secret. You have to put it out there and it will happen.
If you lost absolutely everything, all of your assets, and you had to start all over, knowing what you already know, and you only have $1,000 in cash, what would you do to relaunch your business?
$1,000. So I would build a cheap website and spend money on quick Facebook ads targeted at the markets that I'm looking to raise to get clients from. Or it wouldn't even be a website, it would be a landing page, and I would get it done and get 5 clients probably within 2 weeks.
That's great. All right, good answer. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of folks listening that want to find out more about what you do not only your services, but maybe, you know, to ask questions more specific to themselves. What's the best way for folks to reach you?
So you can find me pretty much anywhere. My podcast is called Investing Across Borders. It's on all the major podcast channels. My website will be soon Investing Across Borders, but you can find me at eCouncil Global, which is my main website, econcilglobal.com. And I'm on Instagram and LinkedIn and Facebook. And generally speaking, Investing Across Borders is how you're going to find me. And soon it will be my newly branded website. I'm also, Lauren ESQ is my name pretty much everywhere. So if you look up Lauren ESQ, you will also find me. I do charge for consultations, but I don't charge for text or, questions within like LinkedIn or Instagram, unless they're specific to your situation and you need advice. And the reason for that is, as a lawyer, I'm not supposed to give advice without being retained.
Gotcha. Gosh, Lauren, thank you so much. You had some great, great information here, and I really appreciate your coming on.
Thanks for having me. Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here. And if you need anything else, or if I can help any of your clients, it would be my pleasure. I do offer discounted consults, so refer to this podcast so that I know that you came to me through a reputable referral source, and I'll be happy to offer that to you. It's only $197.
Oh.
And I can promise that you'll go away from that having a lot more information than you did when you started.
Oh. Great, great. Well, that's very generous of you. Thank you. I also just want to thank all our old dog listeners out there too for joining us. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us means a lot, and we really appreciate it. Please note everything we talked about today that Lauren presented will be outlined in detail at the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog, and you're going to look for the episode entitled Lauren Cohen. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you. We'll be right back.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.